angry world. There is anger in politics. There is anger in homes. There's anger in communities. There's anger between the races. There's a lot of anger in our world today. Jesus has come to give us peace. Give us peace inwardly and to give us peace with one another because he is the Prince of Peace. We have another one called pride, arrogance, egotism. I am better. I deserve more. Always right. I don't know if you experience this with your friends or even with your spouse, but have you ever gotten into an argument and you have forgotten really what the argument was all about, but you just wanted to be right? Have you ever experienced that? You wanted to power them down. You wanted to shout them down. And you wanted to finish the argument because it was your ego that was in jeopardy. There is so much of that in our culture today, being proud. And God is against the proud. The scriptures say that clearly. I hope you don't have that chain around you. There's another chain that we call bitterness. Bitterness comes when we are hurt by others. As we go through life, there are individuals that sometimes hurt us deeply, and we get very bitter, and bitterness leads to more sin. It quenches the Holy Spirit, and we find ourselves not walking in step with Christ. Rather, our heart has become very bitter. And I trust this morning that that bitterness chain is not around you. If it is, Jesus has come to take that chain away from you because he is the chain breaker. Another chain that we struggle with so often is the chain of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Something that we harbor in our heart towards someone, they've hurt us, and we will not let it go. We will not forgive the person who has hurt us. Do you know who gets hurt the most in a situation like that? It's the one who is unwilling to forgive. God wants us to forgive because he's forgiven us so much. If you've come in this morning and you have this chain of unforgiveness around you, I want to encourage you to allow Jesus to break that chain as you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and to soften your heart and to allow you to let go of that unforgiveness in your life, which always unforgiveness leads to the hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. And you might have come this morning and your heart is so hard. And it's so full of sin, and you want to release from that. Again, I'm here to proclaim to you that Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free and to give us the freedom that only he can give as we realize again the victory that he has accomplished on our behalf through the resurrection. Legalism. Oh, the chain of legalism. What is legalism? It's adding our own rules to God's word, expecting others to do them when they're not in the scriptures. Legalism kills the spirit. I've been around some Christians and they're so legalistic about everything. You have to dress the same. You have to have this the same. You have to do everything according to them because if you don't, you don't measure up to who they are. Did you know that was the chain of the Pharisees, the sin of the Pharisees? That they were extremely legalistic in their approach to their walk in the scriptures. And then the last chain that we have is the chain of unbelief. If you've come here with this attitude or with this idea that you are struggling with belief, then you can be free from that. Jesus can allow you to step into a believing relationship with him if you're willing to do that. It's all centered on Jesus Christ. I hope you have noticed that in all the songs that we have sung, it's all pointing to Christ. Because Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is the one who can save your soul. He is the one who can release you from all of these chains. He's the chain breaker. Do you believe that today? Do you believe Jesus has the power from the resurrection to break those chains that sometimes keep you in bondage and hold you back from growing in your relationship with him? I'd like to open the word with you because we want to make sure that what we say to you is from the word. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 4 this morning. I know it's dark in here and you don't have a Bible, so I'll just expect you to follow along as I read. What we find in this chapter is Jesus is at Nazareth. And he's going into the synagogue, and he's going to announce he's coming for the mission that God had given him. I'm going to start reading here in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and what, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came. His mission was to set us free. Again, free from those chains that you saw the youth so brilliantly show us. As they came before you, as we had Ethan here being chained down, and how Christ released him from those chains. That was Jesus' mission when he came. He came to go to the cross for you and for me. He came because he knew there is no other way for us to be saved. There is no other way for us to be free from the condemnation and judgment of sin. I want to talk with you just a few minutes about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because this is what Easter is all about. This is what the Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's all about Christ coming from heaven to earth. It's all about Christ going to the cross. It's all about Christ who bore your sin in his own body on the cross, as he incurred the judgment and wrath for us on our behalf. And as his blood was spilled out down the cross and on the ground, his blood, according to the scriptures, not only covers our sins, but it takes away our sin. It washes away our sin and makes us as white as snow. My friend, if you've never experienced a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then today's the day. Because Christ is proclaiming to you that he has come. He has come to set you free from eternal condemnation and judgment. He has come to give you life everlasting. He's come to give you peace in your soul. He's come to transform you, to change you inside out, if you're willing to come to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need your help." If you're willing to come, then Jesus will meet you where you are. Years ago, when I was struggling in my life and wondering where to go, and I had many bonds of sin upon me, and I was in bondage, I'll never forget that night when I knelt beside my bed and I cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, to forgive me of my sin. And I'll never forget the washing that I felt in my soul as the Holy Spirit began to work on me, and as I realized I needed Christ and I called out to him to save me from my sin, and how he saved me that night. I'll never forget getting up that next morning. It seemed like the colors were more brilliant, that everything was brighter, because the Lord had given me life from above. If you need that life this morning, then I'm here to declare to you that it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. He has come to set the captives free. There's another passage I'd like to share with you found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8. What's interesting about these Gospels is that they complement each other, but this particular context here is one that's only found in John. Verses 31 through 36 in the 8th chapter of John. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do not know what you have heard from your Father. Jesus has come to break those chains, to break those bonds that hold us back. What's interesting about this passage is that many of the Jews thought that they were okay and that they were all right spiritually because they were related to Abraham. They were the offspring of Abraham. Do you realize today that there are a lot of religious people in the world today who think because they're religious, because they go to church, that somehow they're saved? That is not how we are saved. It's not through any particular denomination. And I would venture to say that we probably have folks from every denomination here this morning. And you have ventured into a Baptist church. Do you realize the big risk of that? But you're here. Do you know why you're here? God has brought you here for this moment. This is not a coincidence. You're here because God wants you here. And he wants you to know that you can be free in him. It's not your relationship to a church. It's not your relationship to someone else other than Christ. Because truly, he is the only chain breaker in your life. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have any bonds of chains on you that are holding you back? Is there sin in your life that's quenching the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be free this morning? Do you want to be free? Do you want Christ to set you free? Because if you want to be free, he will set you free. And if you're not sure of your salvation, I want to share with you how you can be sure. It's called the good news. And Jesus mentioned it when he says, I've come to give good news, to preach the good news to the poor. I think he's not only talking about someone who's poor economically. I believe he's talking about someone who's poor in spirit. They're bankrupt in their spirit, and they need a Savior. And if you've come this morning needing a Savior, I'm here to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and he desires to save you this morning. What must I do to be saved? The scriptures are very clear this morning as we read through the scriptures and understand them. And here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, it's all been done for you. When Jesus hung on the cross this last Friday, his last words were, it is finished. What was finished? Salvation was finished for you and for me. All we need to do is accept it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. You understand that is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God to you. All you need to do is take it by faith, and you will be saved. What a message. What a God we have. You may want to pray something like this. If you're not sure this morning of where you're going to spend eternity, then I want you to be sure, because the Lord has come to set us free, and to give us eternal life. And I think I've heard this so often in my life as a pastor. That person will never change. They're hopeless. They'll never change, Pastor. They're hopeless. There's no one who's hopeless with the Lord. He can change all of us. How do I know that? He changed me. He changed me. I'm not who I was. I'm thankful who I am in Christ, and I thank you that through him each day I'm becoming more like Christ. Do I always cooperate with him? I can't stand up here and lie before you. Do I have my moments of struggles? Do I have my moments where I'm not what I should be? There are those times in my life, and I come to Christ, and I ask for his forgiveness once again, and his blood avails and washes me and makes me clean once again. So I just want to encourage you this moment. I have a prayer that if you'd like to pray it with me, if you are in a situation where you feel like you're held down, you're chained down, then this is a prayer of freedom for you today. Lord, I ask you to free me from whatever that might be. I have tried and failed because I relied on my own strength. I thank you that in you I can know forgiveness, freedom, and the fullness of life. Lord, I choose to place my faith and trust in you as my Savior and my chain breaker. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Amen. Is that your prayer this morning? Do you need to pray that prayer? Would you like to pray that prayer? It's between you and the Lord, not between you and me. But if you're willing to pray that, I know the Lord will meet you where you are. And the change will begin. Not only is he a change breaker, he also is someone who causes changes to take place in your life. I've shared with you how I've noticed that in my life. I look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, someone who injured others. And when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, his life was transformed. It was changed. He went to Damascus to persecute, to blaspheme, and to injure Christians. When he came there, the Holy Spirit had met him, and he was changing. God was working in him, and God had made him a different man. So I want you this morning to realize that we can all be changed in Christ, and we can become what he desires us to be. Do you believe that this morning? That you can be new and different in Christ? It doesn't have to be the same old over and over again. That we can be new and different in Christ. I believe it, and I trust that you do too. We're going to sing a song here about the Lamb of God, but before we do, I just want to say a few words about the Lamb of God. Someone asked me, why is Jesus compared to a lamb? Well, he's compared to a lamb that in the Old Testament, Moses was given the instructions to call his people to do a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was a lamb. It happened during the last plague of the judgment upon the Egyptians. And Moses was commanded to tell all of the people to take a lamb without blemish and without spot, and to slay the lamb on a certain day, and to take the blood from the lamb and put it on the lintel and on the doorposts of your home. And when the person of death would come and take the firstborn child of all the Egyptians and all who were in the land, your child and you and your household would be spared. That's the Passover. Now we have another Passover because Jesus is our Passover lamb, because he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. The perfect Lamb of God. And when Jesus was on the cross, he fulfilled the typology of the Passover that was established through the law of Moses. So Jesus is our Passover Lamb. He is the Lamb of God this morning. In the Gospel of John, when John first met Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He'll take your sin too if you're willing to allow him. He'll take your burden and place it upon himself, and you'll be different, you'll be changed, and you'll be born again. Let's pray.